Okay, I think everything is working now. I do need to make sure that everybody knows, as I do, that something special is going to be happening to some in our number. Phil prayed this morning, and he's going to be with us, I think, one more week. Is that right? Not even one more week. He's going into one of the other Sunday school classes in the church that lost a teacher, and he's going in. I think you're going to go with him, right? And they're going to be teaching some of our young marrieds in one of those classes that needs a teacher. And he will be back, I think, once or twice. Once I know for sure, and twice I'm hoping to serve as a substitute for me sometime in the near future. But other than that, he's going to be going off to work in other parts of the building. And enough people have gone out to do this that want to still remain identified with us that when the directory comes out, I hope your picture and your information is still in there. And but I do appreciate your willingness to go and serve, and we hope that things will go well. Now, we've got enough visitors today that probably I should take a second or two and make sure that I let you know what's going on. The rest of the folks in here supposedly do. We have been working for a little more than a year on lists that we find in the Bible. And we have taken on, in the last few weeks, a set of three interlocked links, lists. I don't know that they're necessarily interlocked in everybody's mind, but they're going to be in ours. We're working from a workbook put together by a fellow by the name of P.W. Hunt with the help of a gentleman by the name of Claude King. The title is The Mind of Christ. And the concept is that there is in Scripture a set of lists of characteristics that apply to the Lord. And these are characteristics that we should be working to develop with the Spirit's leadership in our own lives. Now, the particular sect that we're working on is out of James 3, verse 17, and we have worked through the first six of these words: pure, peaceable, gentle, entreatable, merciful, and fruitful. And we come today to the seventh of these, which is the word steadfast. And the point of view that T.W. Hunt is encouraging us to take is, if you listen to Jesus' words, there is a broad way that most people seem to find, but it leads to death. There is a narrow way that few people find that leads to life. And the picture is what Jesus meant by the narrow way as it comes alive in these words. Each of these words represents a characteristic of our Lord that we want to mimic and we want to pattern in our own lives. Satan doesn't want that, and so Satan is going to try to pull us off of that towards the opposite. But if that doesn't work, if Satan's not successful at that, Satan still has one more move up his sleeve, which is to take us and push us past this into a perversion of this term. And in so doing also get in the way of our being more Christ-like in our living. So with that as a preliminary to try to help you get thinking about this, we're going to work from those points of view by first talking about synonyms for this word, words that help us line up other terms that would be in parallel with that. We're then going to work on opposites. We're then going to work on things that might be where Satan would take us beyond this, and then try to put scripture verses behind this that will help us understand it. I had thought we could go through this at the rate of two words a week. Obviously, that didn't work. But this morning, I think we might be able to do that because this class is supposed to go until 10:30, and according to the clock on the wall, it's only 15 till 8. So we've got a lot of time today. I'm pointing that out so that if for some reason I happen to still be talking when 10:30 comes and I haven't noticed that it's not a quarter till 8, some of you might want to give me a high sign. Okay, so the word is steadfast. What are some synonyms? I know I've got salted through the group some people who own this workbook now. You've bought out the Christian bookstores around town, and you have some of these. So you may be armed with a word or two to add. Janie has her flashcard. What are some words that would be parallel words, synonyms, for this one?
Consistent. consistent.
Yes.
Sincere. Consistent. I heard steady. I heard
sincere.
Firm, I think.
Immovable.
I heard sincere.
Immovable.
Immovable.
Stationary.
Uncompromising.
Yeah. Barbara taught me that when you suggest things, I shouldn't question them. I shouldn't make any comment on that. Not that there's any up here that I would have any tendency to do that. You said something. Somebody said
uncompromising.
Okay.
I like the ones in here. It says unshakable.
Yes.
Unshakable. Anybody else?
Glued.
Glued. Boy, there's one that just begs for coming. Yeah. Okay.
Rock would be a good one.
I didn't get my Christmas letter written this year. I have a small cadre of people who look forward to it and a much larger number who dread it. But I used that word about my brother, who has, I think, served that function in our family for taking care of my mom and dad. And many of you will have people you think of where that word might fit. And, of course, Scripture uses that about Jesus and about our Lord. Regularly, so good word to put down.
What about grounded?
Yeah, I've got three words that T.W. Hunt didn't use, and that's one of the three that I picked up. I think that's a word that many of us might well resonate with. Just in case there's somebody in the room that doesn't know what that word means, what does that word mean to you?
It means the foundation's on God, the rock, on you know, like the sand and where you build your house, how you build your relationship with God, as in firm.
Okay, you use the word firm foundation. What was the term we used last week when we were talking about fruitful?
Connected to the bone.
Yeah.
Roots.
Okay. So rooted would be another way of maybe saying this. There's a verse that you find both in Isaiah and in 2 Kings in the prophecy books as well as in the history books. And really, what it is a prophet Isaiah said this, and then the historian picked it up and quoted it. But the phrase says God's ideal for people is to have roots below and have fruit above. And in the context of fruitful life, so grounded, rooted might be words that speak to this. I had another word which was anchored. Anchored.
Anchored.
There is a particularly trashy little show that's on TV that is still entertaining enough that every once in a while our TV finds itself playing this show. There's no other reason I can think of that it would be on. But on this particular show, which I will not name, there was a moment where a young lady who had lived all her life in New York found herself spending the night on a boat in a remote part of our country. And thought she had tied the boat up to the dock and woke in the morning to find that not only had she not tied it to the dock, but there wasn't a dock in sight. And this thought of anchored sort of fits that picture. Anchored, having a place to hold on to. And I think this set of words that I'm working through right now is parallel to these, but I think it picks up some things that T.W. Hunt's list. The other word I had, and some of you who have been in circles where you put through training courses of one kind or another, the word I've heard used a lot is centered. Have you all heard that word?
Yeah.
What does that word mean to you?
A center of gravity, the balance.
Yeah, it has to do with a center of gravity or balance. If you've ever studied physics, one of the problems of having a lot of mass up high and not much area down below is that you can get tipped pretty easily. And centered means that you're the center of mass is over. That's enough physics for the morning. But I think this is a good set of words. Now, What are opposites for this? Now, remember, our picture is that there's a spiritual battle going on. This is where the Lord wants to take us. This is where His Spirit is guiding us if we'll listen and cooperate. But Satan is at work trying to take us to something else. What are the opposites?
The NIV uses impartial for this stuff. I'm not sure where it fits in all these
ones. Impartial is another word to add to the synonyms.
Inconsistent.
Wishy-washy.
I've seen a wishy-washy.
Charlie Brown. That's a different way of spelling wishy-washy. Unsteady.
Vacillating.
Yeah, in the sense of the anchored adrift. I think vacillating, I think.
Yeah.
You went to East Baptist. You should be able to. I'll put the docs up there and you put up where they need to go. Vacillating, right? Okay?
How about really knowing?
Yeah. One that has gotten a lot of press in the last dozen years or so.
Waffling.
Waffling.
Compromising as opposed to. Compromising. Fickle.
Okay. Are there any others that are just burning to be said? It looks like there's one back here.
Politician.
I think I'll edit it enough to leave that one off the list. Yeah. Some other words, I won't take time to write them on the board, but indecisive was one. Halting was another. Hesitant was another.
I'm sure.
I didn't have those down. Are those on your flashcard?
Capricious.
Capricious. I did find capricious on there, but I didn't know how to spell it. So. Okay. Whatever steadfast means, and we've got now some words to help us understand that. That's where Jesus is. That's where He wants us to be. But Satan's going to try to pull us to the opposite. If that fails, what's Satan going to do? Try to push us past this point to something else. That's what I think one way of thinking about the narrow way is. So what are some perversions, if you will, of this? Something that takes you further than where the Spirit would want you to go.
Inflexible.
And I'll tell you this, it's only when you start to realize these things are going too far that you start to say, all right, there's a limit to how far this one can go. You start to recognize there's a few in here that maybe they belong in this position, but maybe they're moving to the borderline between these two, if I can say it that way.
Legalistic.
Okay. Legalistic.
Stubborn.
Yeah, if I were to editorialize, which of course I'm not because my wife has taught me that I shouldn't do that. She's the one who's holding the clock up that now is reading the right time.
Resistance, I think you said.
Yeah. I think this one sort of begins to get close. These up here start to get close to where P.W. Hunt was taking people in the workbook.
Those kinds of bullheaded.
Bullheaded.
Deserves a place of honor. Would self-righteous fit in there?
Yeah.
I think self-righteous fits in a lot of these places, and there's no reason not to. Yeah. Boy, you're just full of problems, but I don't, of course, have any. Anybody want to go back into T.W. Hunt's list and pull out a couple of other gems?
This isn't in there, but I think dictatorial is pretty much there.
Obstinate.
That's the one I saw. I saw that word. Obstinate. Is it N-A-T-E or N-A-N-T?
You're not going to be obstinate about that, are you?
No, sir. If you're worried about spelling, I don't know whether you're right or whether he's right.
Oh, this is right. I'm sure this is right.
Unshakable. You said to eliminate the E if he's right.
Yeah, tyrannical and then transigent, which I practiced for a week to make sure I could say it correctly, but intransigent is a really good one. It's so good I'm not going to try to spell it. Despotic was another one. Authoritarian is a milder version of despotic. Tyrannical. Intransigent. Some of those words talk about, and that's why I think the word resistant was so good, it's talking about a resistance to find a way to work with somebody else. And the other one talks about an attitude of I'm in charge and I make the decisions, and anything you may be thinking is irrelevant. Okay? Now, I'm still playing with my iPod. And I've now realized that signing up for podcasts from the New York Times is not helping my stress levels or my tranquility. And so I haven't found the perfect way yet to stop those. They still come in, but I don't have to load them on my iPod. But I have begun to take the podcasts of some other folks, and one in particular is Robbie Zacharias. Some of you are aware of him. And he said something this week in a different context that I realized connected to this. And it's an image. And it's an image I have a feeling everybody in the room will have a connection to. Everybody in the room, I think, will have had this experience at least once in your life. The picture is you're sitting in your car. You're at a red light. And there's something off to the side. And it starts to move. But when you look at it, you get the feeling it's not moving, you are. Have you ever had that moment? It's a very strange feeling, right? Now here's the question. What's the first thing that, I'm stealing this shamelessly from Robbie Zacharias, but it's really nice. What's the first thing you do? You step as hard as you can on the brakes. Why? Because you want to make sure that you're not moving when you're not supposed to be moving, right? What's the second thing you do? This was more subtle.
Relax.
No. That's not, at least that's not what Robbie Zacharias said.
Look around.
Look around,
see if
anybody
else is looking at you.
Look around to see if anybody else is looking at you. No, but the first part is right.
Look around.
You look around to see what? Are other things moving as they would be if I was moving when I wasn't supposed to? So what are you looking for? You're looking for things that are grounded, rooted, steady, stable, unmoving. Why? So that you can understand what you're doing relative to those. So what happens, Chris? This was our conversation yesterday while we were trying to track down Artie and Dick. What happens when everything in the world is moving? Chris's picture was an earthquake. She's been in earthquakes in Japan, and she says there's moments when you look around and nothing is stationary. Everything is moving.
Well, when we live in Peru,
I'm not going to worry about the year.
We had been in Peru about 1 year, and one afternoon the house started shaking. The dogs always stay on the top of the roof because they're flat, and when all the burglars there due to poverty, the dogs were barking in confusion. I mean, every dog in Peru was flat. And people were screaming to the top of their voices, running out into the street. And I met a girl that lives with us, a Peruvian girl, and she said to me, "What's going on?" I said, "Must be an earthquake. Let's get our friends." So we went out into the front yard, which was very small, and we could feel the ground moving under our feet. And my thought to God was, "Well, I'm prepared to die, to be God, but what a terrible way to go." And I could hear things rattling around in people's houses, and just real pandemonium was broken out. Well, after a little bit, it was all over. So we went back into the house. We had no damage. There were two pictures in the dining room that were still hanging, but they were turned upside down, but they were still hanging. And so I just thank God, you know, for being safe and for being at us and reserved us. Well, it was during the afternoon, so those at work, you know, were still in the office or whatever. People just, they panicked. They were in a haste to get home. They were driving up on the sidewalks. A lot of the buildings had collapsed, and some of the brick wall piled up here, young, and everywhere. Well, the Peruvians are the worst drivers in the world. They have got to be first. We have had them come up on our sidewalk right in front of the house while I was trying to pull into the garage. Because they had to be first, and so they moved around.
Yeah, let me take this back now and try to take you to the point Robert Zacharias was making. We live in a world, and sometimes we wonder, where should we be? Are we moving, and are we moving in the right direction? Where do we have a place to stand? And when everything in the world is moving, you have no references. And his call was to what Scripture says. There are some things that don't change. The word steadfast is talking about that. Having something to hold on to. It doesn't move. It doesn't change. It's not rigid and inflexible. It's not legalistic and stubborn. It's not bullheaded and self-righteous. But it is to say there is a place to stand in this world we live in. And people who stand there can have a solidity in the life that we live. Let me take you to two or three places. We'll try to do this in the 6 minutes that we now have left. 1 Corinthians 15, the last verse of that chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right after the Gospels, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. You want to just write that down and look it up later. Let me read it for you because we are a little low on time. "And so, my dear brothers, keep firm and immovable." Another translation says steadfast and immovable, and that's where T.W. Hunt gets this particular word. "Always abounding in energy for the Lord's work, being sure that in the Lord none of your labors is wasted." Steadfast and unmovable doesn't mean you don't ever listen to anybody. You always just do whatever you want. Steadfast and unmovable means you know where God is. And that's where your anchor is. 1 Peter chapter 5. This goes almost to Revelation. It's in the little books between Hebrews and Revelation. Hebrews, James. That's our anchor verse. James 13, 17. The next book is 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me take you to verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Keep sober and alert, because your enemy, the devil, is on the prowl, like what?" Yeah, not just a lion, but a roaring lion. "Looking for someone to devour." What does verse 9 say at the beginning? "Resist, stand up to him. Stand firm. Strong in faith and in the knowledge that this is the same kind of suffering that the community of your brothers throughout the world is undergoing." Ken and Niels and I talked a moment or two this morning about the trip to China. They're going to meet some of the people who've been undergoing some of that and have a chance to pray with them and be with them. The God of all grace, who calls you to eternal glory in Christ, will restore you, will confirm, strengthen, and support you, and his power lasts forever and ever. Turn to 1 Timothy. This is one of the books right before Hebrews. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The word stand or steadfast is not in here, but I think the spirit of what these verses are talking about is very much in line with what we're dealing with today. Verse 20 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. My dear Timothy, Paul writes to him, take great care of all that has been entrusted to you. Turn away from godless philosophical discussions and the contradictions of the knowledge which is not knowledge at all. For by adopting this, some have missed the goal of faith. John chapter 9. Again, the word stand, I do not believe, is in this verse that I'm going to take you to. But I think the spirit of the verse speaks to what we're trying to talk about today. John chapter 9. And I'm going to read verse 4 and then verse 5. John chapter 9, verse 4. As long as day lasts, we must carry out the work of the one who sent me. The night will soon be here when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then finally, and we will not have time to do everything with it that we might, turn to Ephesians. Right after 1 and 2 Corinthians are four little books, Galatians and Ephesians are the first two of those. Find Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read starting at verse 10 and read just a little more than I usually do. This is a little longer section than we usually look at. And at moments in here, I'm going to stop for just a moment and let you hear a word or a phrase that I think will amplify the things that we're trying to talk about today. I've got the words next to the word steadfast in my notes. I have the phrase without wavering. Finally, verse 10 says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, grow strong in the Lord with the strength of his power. Put on the full armor of God so as to be able to resist the tactics of the devil. For it is not against human enemies that we have to struggle, but against the principalities and the ruling forces who are the masters of all the darkness in this world, the spirits of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up all of God's armor, or you will not be able to put up any resistance on the evil day or stand your ground, even though you exert yourself to the full. So stand your ground with truth as a belt around your waist. That's what we're going to take up next week. Our word for next week is honest. So stand your ground with truth as a belt around your waist and uprightness as a breastplate, wearing for shoes on your feet the eagerness to spread the gospel of peace, and always carrying the shield of faith so that you can use it to quench the burning arrows of the evil one. And then you must take salvation as your helmet and the sword of the Spirit, that's the Word of God. In all your prayer and entreaty, keep praying in the Spirit on every possible occasion. Never get tired of staying awake to pray for all of God's holy people. Stand your ground. Resist. Satan's at work. And what's he doing? With faithful people, he's trying to pull you away from the middle ground. Do the opposite if he can, or pushing you past it to a perversion. Grounded, anchored, centered, even glued. Firm, consistent, steady, prepared might go on here too.
Sounds like having that all on.
Do you find that middle category attractive today? This is a reasonable call. Let's have a word of prayer as we finish. Our Father, we thank you for the time you give us. We thank you for the words of Scripture that you've guided us to today. And I pray today that we would learn what it means to be steadfast. It doesn't mean to be rigid and unbending, but it means to be connected to you so firmly that we're anchored and we have a foundation that's steady under our feet. Teach us that when we come to you, we have found the rock, a place to stand among the shifting sands that seem to surround us. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for his death on the cross for us. But we thank you most of all that he lives today. And his Spirit is alive in our hearts. Teach us to listen. Teach us to follow. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.